Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house, sensing the presence of God in this place. I trust that you've already been ministered to and have enjoyed yourself so far. As we look here this morning, I want, if you would, look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. I'm going to be reading verse 24 down to verse 26. Paul before the governor Felix. Acts chapter 24. And if you'll stand with me, we'll read the word of God together this morning. As I read, you follow right along with me. Acts chapter 24 and verse 24. The Bible says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." And let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you, Lord God, for just your presence in this place. And we thank you for, Lord, each one that's had the desire to be a part of the assembly this morning. And God, I pray that you would work in our midst to be a blessing to each one that's here. I ask God that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Felix's answer before Paul, as Paul had preached a message to him and spoke to him concerning his faith in Christ. Felix answered him, according to verse 25, the Bible says, and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." A convenient season. Can I ask you to ask yourself, as we go through and we preach on this message this morning, is this something that I've been doing? Concerning my walk with God, concerning my relationship with God, concerning what God has been trying to speak to me about, have I been waiting for a more convenient season? Felix's response to God's message is a common response for the lost in particular. The lost will come under this conviction of the Holy Spirit and they'll hear a message from God, but they're always thinking that not now, just won't work right now with my circumstances of life and where I'm at, and I'll just put it off and I'll wait for a more convenient season. Paul was standing before Felix, who was a governor of Caesarea, because he was fulfilling God's will for his life. The Apostle Paul was an instrument that God was going to work through. And matter of fact, when Paul got saved, he heard the message as well from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came under great conviction and he was trembling himself when he received Christ as his Savior. But then we find in, and let me just read this to you, but in the book of Acts in chapter 9 and verse 15, this is what God says about Paul. He says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." God was going to work through Paul to get the gospel message to the Gentiles, but not only the Gentiles, but also kings and politicians and anyone and everyone that Paul would have an opportunity to be able to influence for the cause of Christ. And he would stand before governors and he would stand before Kings, and Paul would be that witness for God. And so Paul now is standing before Felix, and he's standing before Felix because he knew that God wanted him to be a witness to the Gentiles and to all of the individuals that he would have an opportunity to stand before. Felix was not necessarily a good man. He had a position, and he was abusing his position to be able to take bribes for exchange for some favors, if you will. And we find this is what was going on with Felix as well. Here with Paul, and the Bible says in verse 26, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. And so Felix was not a good individual, not a good man, but yet Paul had a desire to give him an opportunity to be saved. Paul was there to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. In this very same chapter, in Acts in chapter 24, in verses 10 through 23, we find that Felix had already heard Paul, but had not listened as a message from God. Now, Paul had presented himself as a servant of the Lord's, and he was there, and he had been accused of doing things that he really hadn't been doing, and he was there just to represent God in Jerusalem. And Felix heard that at the time, but he didn't hear it as a message from God. Can I tell you, there's a difference when you hear somebody talk about religion and when you come to church and just think it's another religious experience. And you really don't come to church and you don't come to listen to the preaching of God's word as a message from God. It'll make a difference when you come to church, and that's one of the reasons that we start off every Sunday morning in our worship service asking people, are you ready to worship the Lord? Have you asked God to speak to you today? Do you realize that you're here not just to engage in a religious exercise, not just to fill up Sunday morning, but you've actually, I hope anyway, that you come to church knowing that it's God's plan for us to assemble ourselves together and to worship Him and to allow God to speak to us through the preaching and the teaching of His Word. And I trust that you come this morning with a desire to listen to what God might have to say to you this morning through the preaching of His Word, through the reading of His Word, through the ministry of music. Amen. All of it together in this one worship service. It'll make a difference when we come to listen to a message as if it's a message from God. Felix heard from Paul, but he didn't really hear from Paul as a message from God. But then we find that in verse 24, after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, that's important to know that, because she would have had a better understanding of what Paul would be presenting as far as revealing Christ as the Messiah, the promised Savior of the world. She understood the Old Testament scriptures. She was a Jew. She understood that there was a prophecy of the coming of the Christ child. And as the Christ child would come, he would be the Savior of the world. And so now we find that as Felix asked for Paul to come back a second time, he has his wife with him, which was a Jewish. And he sent for Paul and heard him, look right here, heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now he's listening. He hears Paul, but this time he's listening to what Paul is saying as if it's a message from Christ. He's ready to listen. And as he calls Paul, and Paul knows that he's there to represent God, he's going to give Felix the message that Felix would have needed as a lost man, the message of salvation. Amen. And so we find here in verse 25, and now as he, and he's talking about Paul, now he has a captive audience in Felix and his wife, and they come to hear about the faith in Christ. They come to hear about what he had to say about this Messiah, if Jesus was the Messiah, the one prophesied in the Old Testament. And as he, Paul, reasoned A three-point outline here. He preached on righteousness, temperance, and judgment. That's a great outline. That's what the lost especially need to hear, but all of us need to hear. He first of all preached on righteousness because Paul wants Felix to know about God. And the most important thing that we have to know about who God is that God is righteous. Everything about God is righteous. Everything about God is holy. I mean, forget about religion. Forget about anything that man's taught you concerning who God is. And let's just understand what the Bible reveals about God. And one of the most important things that the Bible reveals about God is that God is righteous. And all that He does, God is holy in who He is. And as we understand the righteousness of God, then we look at ourselves and our righteousness, as the Bible reveals, as being as filthy rags. We want to see ourselves, the lost want to see themselves as basically good people. The lost want to see themselves as something maybe a little even special. If I'm doing good things, I'm doing good works, especially if I'm religious, then I want to see myself as being somewhat righteous. But in order for a person to get saved, they have to see what true righteousness is, and that's God. And when we compare our thoughts with His thoughts, and we compare our thinking with His thinking, and we compare our acts with His acts, and we realize how righteous He is and how unrighteous we truly are. And that's where a person has to come in order for them to first of all get saved. Matter of fact, Romans in chapter 10, and I believe that Paul might have actually preached to him the Romans road because he wanted him to get saved. He knew he was there to help the Gentiles come to know Christ as Savior, to help kings and governors. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you have to confess that you know that Jesus was the Savior. He died for you. He was buried for 3 days. He resurrected on the third day. If thou shalt confess that with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. The heart now, because now you see Christ as coming as a sacrificial Lamb of God. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And He actually laid His life down on the cross of Calvary. He paid our sin debt to offer us a gift of everlasting life. And we see ourselves and realizing, oh, I can never do that. And in our hearts, we acknowledge the righteousness of God and we acknowledge our sinful condition, our need for a Savior. And then we confess with our mouth, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve Your gift of everlasting life. There's nothing in me that deserves to be forgiven. I'm so glad that You died for me. I'm so glad that You loved me enough to pay my sin debt. And by paying my sin debt, gives You a position to offer me a gift of forgiveness of my sins and a gift of everlasting life. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. First, let me just read it to you. Write the verses down if I go too fast. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 and verse 34. Maybe Paul said this to him. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness. Because of our sin nature, you see, it's going to lead to evil communications and an evil lifestyle. But he says, when you acknowledge Jesus Christ and awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, I speak this to your shame. You're not comparing yourself with God's righteousness. You're comparing yourself with other men. And you can find somebody that's possibly a little more evil than you are. You can find somebody that's not as righteous maybe as what you are. But that's not who we're compared to. When our right is different from God's, it's wrong. Amen. Mark it down. No matter what it is, no matter what you're thinking about, if what you think is right is contrary to what the Bible says, If your right is opposite God's right, what God deems to be right, then I'm wrong. Why? Because he is righteousness. He is the epitome of right. He is holy. He is without sin. And so Paul reasons, first of all, with Felix concerning what's right. God is a righteous God. And then he reasoned of temperance. The word temperance is self-control. And I believe that here Paul might have said that he's presenting God as a God that is in control. Even though we deserve death and hell, God prefers grace and mercy. God is a patient God. And Agrippa, even though you might not be doing right and you see yourself as living in sin, God is in control of himself, and he would prefer to offer you forgiveness of your sins than the judgment of your sins. Maybe he presented what we find in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 could have been very what he quoted concerning God's temperance, self-control, patience. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us." You know, in order to be long-suffering toward people, we have to be temperate or self-controlled. Isn't that right? Because when somebody does something against us or something that we are in disagreement with, we have a desire to be able to just pounce right on them. And Paul says God is a God of self-control and patience and long-suffering, and he would much rather prefer to extend mercy and grace. Amen. Not willing, he says, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the temperance of God. But then in verse 10 it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Which leads to the third thing that Paul reasoned with him about, and that is judgment to come. Possibly the idea of the judgment to come would have been Paul presenting to him what he said in Peter's writes to us in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 when he says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished." God is temperate, but God is also just. And because he is just, there must be judgment on sin. in Romans in chapter 14. He could have possibly even told Felix this. He might have quoted Romans chapter 14 and verse 11 and verse 12 and write these verses down. But verse 11 says this, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." Mark it down. Every tongue and every knee. The Bible says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." And so as Paul here reasoned with Felix of righteousness, and he reasoned with Felix concerning the temperance, and then he reasoned with Felix concerning judgment to come, he might have even went beyond that and said, "Felix, there is going to be a great white throne judgment for all who reject Jesus Christ will stand and give an account of their evil deeds before they're cast into the lake of fire, which is a literal place of hell." So Paul's message was given, Felix. Go back with me to our text in chapter 24. So Paul presented exactly what God would have him to present. It wasn't Paul's message, it was God's message. Paul was the instrument that God was working through. He put him before this governor. And he put him before this governor that he would speak the very words of God. And this governor would have an opportunity to either receive or to reject it. Felix had listened this time. Felix had understood what Paul said. Say, "Well, now, preacher, how do you know that he listened and how do you know that he understood?" Well, by what follows. After Paul presented the message, the Bible says, Felix trembled. If he hadn't have understood, he wouldn't have been trembling. If he hadn't listened, he wouldn't have understood it. He listened and he understood, and now he knows and is accountable for what he has heard. And we find that Felix trembled. Why? What has happened to Felix? What has come over Felix? It's the same thing that happens to us when we hear the message that God has for us. And you listen to it as if it's a message from God to you. The very same thing will happen. God's Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. This is just how it works. This is how God works today. This is this New Testament church age. This is exactly what God said would take place when the Word of God is presented. In John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." He's going to ascend into heaven. He's in heaven today, sitting at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. But when he went to heaven, he says, "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." The Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes within you and dwells within your heart, sealed inside of you till the day of redemption, the Bible says. But I want you to see what verse 8 says. "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Now, Paul had just preached on righteousness. Paul had just preached on judgment. And so, since Paul preached on righteousness and now Paul has preached on judgment, according to the Bible, according to what Jesus said would happen, is now happening to Felix. The Holy Spirit of God is convicting Felix's heart. The Holy Spirit of God is saying, "Felix, what Paul is saying is true. God is a righteous God. God is a temperate God. And God is a God of judgment as well." And Felix Because of your sin, the wages of sin is death. Felix, you deserve to go to a devil's hell. You deserve the judgment of your sin. He listened as if it was a message from God to him. And as he listened, he understood the message. And the message had the power of the Holy Spirit behind it. And the power of the Holy Spirit behind it brought the conviction into the heart of Felix. Felix came under the conviction of God's Holy Spirit. And now he would have a decision to make. Can I tell you something this morning? I know that's how God works. And I can just let you know, if God is not convicting you, don't make a decision for God. It's really worthless. You can't get saved unless the Spirit of God convicts you of your need to be saved. It's when the Spirit of God convicts you of your need to be saved and you acknowledge that now as a message from God and you come under this conviction and you realize your sin condition, you understand who Jesus is. At that point, because of the conviction of God, you can call upon the name of the Lord and you can be saved and you will be saved. But if you go through some words, if you say some words without the conviction of God upon your life, without actually seeing as a message from God, words do not save an individual. If you're not under conviction after God has spoken to you, or you've set into a service, there's a difference, as I said, setting in a service as a religious exercise. And you'll come as you were, you'll come as you are, and you'll leave as you were. Why? Because there's been no conviction. There's been nothing that I have to make a decision on. I haven't heard anything that's going to bring conviction into my life. I've just been told I'm a good person. I've been entertained. I've enjoyed the services. It has been a pleasurable experience, and I'm going to leave the experience now and go back just to doing the same things that I did before and being the same person that I was. But when you come underneath the preaching of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God knows what you have need of, and the Holy Spirit of God reveals it to you as being something that is sin compared to the righteousness of God, and you see this as being sin compared to the righteousness of God, and then the Holy Spirit says, you need to change. The Holy Spirit of God now is doing that. He's working through the preaching. But it's the Holy Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit. This is how God works today. And He's saying to you, you have this in your life and you need to get it out of your life. That is something that you need to be doing that you're not doing. And the Holy Spirit of God now, because you looked at this as a message from God, the Holy Spirit of God's taken the truth that has been preached and now He is making it personable. He's applying it to your life. And when that happens, you'll come under conviction. And inside, there'll be a trembling. Yeah. Amen. Well, this is what's happening. So now we have an opportunity for Felix to respond. God will never force. The Holy Spirit of God will convict. Then it's up to you and your free will to make whatever decision that you're going to make. Felix's response, verse 25. He's trembling now. He understood. He's under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Answered, go thy way. Was not what Paul had hoped for. It's not what any preacher worth his salt wants to experience. You can't control anything outside of that. As a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel, I prepare and I spend time with the Lord. And matter of fact, at Saturday nights in my prayer closet, I get myself ready to be used by God. Just to be, I don't know who's going to come. God, only God knows who's going to be in the congregation. Only God knows what you're going through. And I'm going to be prepared to be used by God God's given me this position to stand before you and to preach His Word, not my Word, His Word. I pray for God's anointing. I pray that God would use me, and I believe He does. And while the preaching is taking place, and you believe it's a message from God, that God will use it to speak to you, the Holy Spirit of God will start working in our midst. Amen. And there will come a time where you're going to have to make a decision based upon what God says to you. And sad, many will say, not today. Not right now. There's too many people in this place. I'm not going to embarrass myself and go in front of all these people. Just no, go away. I don't want the conviction. I'm not going to yield to it. Go away. I've seen both extremes in responding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I've preached to congregations and churches where I've actually seen people come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and get mad and get up and storm out because they didn't want the conviction. And they were sure not ready to yield to the conviction. And they'll storm out. Then I've seen the others that, I mean, you can tell during the preaching of the Word of God, and I can see it in their face that God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to them, and they are identifying with what's being said, and they realize God's the only one that knew that, and God now is convicting my heart, and they'll grab onto the pew possibly, and they'll start having tears come down their eyes, and they'll be trembling inside, and they'll know that God is speaking to me. And it's a blessing for those when the invitation opens up, they run down the aisle. I've seen them run down the aisle even before there's any music being sung. As soon as I ask for heads to be bowed, people leave their pews and they come running to the aisle because they know I've got a decision to make here. Many will just try to block it out and try to act like nothing's happening. I don't want anybody to see me trembling. And they'll say, not now. And they'll try to look for a distraction. And there's always a distraction if you want to look for one. There's always somebody not paying attention. There's always somebody possibly, especially in the youth department, maybe writing a note. There's always somebody yawning. There's always somebody looking at their watch. Is this over yet? Come on. It's past noon. Come on, preacher. You know, we only go to noon and you have to let us out. There's always distractions. And when you're under conviction and you're not really wanting to make the decision, you'll be looking for a distraction. To try to change the subject. To try to get it off your mind. Felix, the last here this morning, he responds by saying, go away. Go thy way. But the last thought here is Felix's delusion. And many have the same delusion. And he says, when I have a convenient season, it's not about you choosing when God convicts your heart. It's about understanding who God is. And when God speaks to you, there's not ever going to be a more convenient season than that day and that hour and that time. It's seldom, if ever, convenient to do right. to do what God would have you do. Why? Because you have the world, the flesh, and the devil working against anything that God would have you to do for Him. And you're thinking about the world and how the world would look to you making the decision. You think of your flesh, and the old devil himself is working through both the world and the flesh to hinder you from saying yes to God. Felix was delusional into thinking there would be a more convenient time. One of the hardest things to do is to live for God. It's never going to be convenient to be the light of the world when you're living in darkness. It's never going to be convenient to be the salt of the earth, to influence the earth when the earth and the world is so influential. It's never going to be convenient to take a stand for God. But I do know this. Rejecting God will eventually lead to a hardened heart and a reprobate mind. You continue to reject God, there's never going to be a more convenient season. You continue to reject God, it's going to lead to a hardened heart and a reprobate mind. That's what the Bible says. I want you to look there with me, and we'll close with this. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. You know what's going on in our society today? Most have rejected the thought of God, and they have a hardened heart, and they now have a reprobate mind. And this is what God has given to us. We've had this for 2,000 years now, this New Testament. This is what God says, and we're living in the day and age where it's very common. Verse 21 says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things, and made idols and everything else, and making them their gods. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is, and I underline this, unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignant, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They condone and support, and have pleasure in them that do them. continue to reject God, eventually it will lead to a hardened heart and a reprobate mind. Felix never found a more convenient time. He was relieved of his position 2 years later. As far as we know, Felix never had an opportunity to get saved again. And Felix now has eternity in hell to be reminded of it. God's timing is always the best time. Don't wait for a more convenient season. When God pricks your heart, when God convicts your soul, the best thing to do is yield and say, "Yes, Lord." There'll never be a more convenient time than when God chooses to convict your soul. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. It's a message from the Word of God. It's exactly what the Bible says. It's exactly how God works even today. I trust that your heart has not been hardened to the place that you cannot sense the pricking of the Holy Spirit of God. And I trust that the Holy Spirit of God pricked your heart today and has revealed to you something that God wants you to address, that you will not put it off any longer. You will not be looking for a more convenient time, but you'll take advantage of the time that God's given you right here and right now. Make the decision that God would have you to make before it's eternally too late. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we thank you for this passage of Scripture and Book of Acts and just helping us to see exactly what took place with Paul and Felix and knowing that this is how you work even today. And I pray, God, for all that are here, that that's set underneath the preaching of thy word, I pray that you would take it and make that application to them and their own personal lives right now. I pray, God, as you prick their heart, that they be willing and ready to respond. Blessing this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.